Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Bleach Boys. We are on the final episode of Core One, episode 13, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. It's been a fantastic ride so far, and I'm going to give a controversial opinion that I'm going to get to later. I think this episode had the saddest scene in it of the whole season, okay?
Really?
Yes, and I will tell you what scene that was when we get to it,
okay? Okay, I was like, what scene could you be talking about, dude?
I felt down in this episode, you know, but that's okay, that's okay. We'll kick it off with a recap, and then we'll go from there. We'll talk about what we thought about the final episode and what we're hoping for season two and all that stuff, which is going to be a week after this comes out.
Yes. So oh, my God. I'm excited.
We're at the promised land already. It's just snuck up on everybody. So kicking it off, episode 13, we see the reappearance of Mera, who's the red-haired fucking Asa Uchi from Oetsu's gang shows up and is ready to take back Ichigo. Perfect timing, because of course Ichigo's like, hey, how are you gonna get back? And it's like, what's up, bitch?
Love the fact that she pops in and just goes like, right on time. Yep, let's go. Like,
perfect. And then Ichigo gets tossed back into the pit of the Asa Uchi, and I thought this was fucking cool because I totally forgot he just full-on walks and everybody just bows to him. I'm like, damn, he's that guy.
The true respect he got.
Yes.
I'm like, you finally understand who you are. You know what you came here for. Let's go.
I felt like it was a good full circle from the beginning when Ichigo first learned Bankai. Do you remember when he first did the shortcut? He was having to find what the real Zangetsu was.
Yeah.
And he was having to try sword after sword after sword after sword to figure out which one was the correct one. This one, he walked in, he fucking knew who it was, immediately went right to it, and it was game over. Just instantly. So I really, really liked that part. I thought it was a good little note all the way around. It was fantastic.
It was good. It definitely was poetic in the sense that it just came full circle. And instead of like having to look for him, at this point, his heart knew what he wanted.
And then you can immediately tell something's a little strange this time when he grabs the hand of the Asa Uchi and he's like, you're the one. And it has the holo mask on him. It's
I love that the minute he reached for it and he turns white. And I'm like, that's right.
And it straight up looks like what we would know as Ichigo with an H on the front. White with the holo mask on. Yeah. And I was like, damn, that is fucking cool. Really, really cool. And then Uetsu even himself was blown away. He was like, he was like, okay. And he's so excited. He's like, I'm going to personally reforge yours. So that leads me to the question. Did Renji get his personally reforged?
Nah, he's like, fuck this guy.
Renji just got put to one of the fucking lackeys. Was like, here you go, take it. I was like, okay, good for Ichigo. Then immediately I was like, what about our boy Renji, though? It's like, you didn't seem that excited for Renji.
He always gets shafted.
Yeah.
He gets the intern. That's all he deserves.
I truly believe that's what happened. Somebody saw his old Zabimaru. They gave it to the intern. It's like, I got some creative ideas we could do here with that one.
Yeah,
and they just gave me nothing similar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then after that, so we do get the opening here. And I gave the old college try once again. If you guys are some for a reason watching this episode first, the opening for Core One fucking dog shit. Okay.
Absolutely. It's terrible.
It's dog shit. So I rewatched it this time and I was really like paying attention to the visuals and I was taking it all in here. They spoil the Ichigo dual wield right at the very end of the opening as well. That is bonkers to me. And I get the reasoning of, like, you guys have all fucking read the manga by now. But, like, I just can't help but think if I was someone that didn't read the manga, because I know there's people out there.
Oh,
that, hey, for sure, I'm only going to watch the anime. My good friend, Black Sheep, okay, it's online handle. It's not actually his first and last name. But he does not read manga. Refuses. So he would be one of those people who would never read it. That opening is bonkers for spoilers.
So I have a bunch of friends at work, and all these boys, they come up to me and they're like, oh, your Bleach podcast is super cool. I thought it was cool. It's cool. So they came in and they watched it. I'm like, oh, I didn't know he has two swords. I'm like, what are you talking about? Went back, watched it. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. They spoil it. And like, that's in the opening. And then also, spoiler for later in the episode, the after credit scene is Uryu joining, but that is spoiled in the opening. That is crazy. They spoiled the after credit scene for the last episode in the very first opening.
I wonder if people were just like, oh, it's one of those like Elseworld kind of intros or whatever.
That is fucked up. So I don't know what was going on there. But anyways, my official rating, end of the series, opening, 3 out of 10. That's what I give it. A 3 out of 10.
Oh, that low.
And it's a kind of, you know, I can see the song being enjoyable, but I don't think the visual, I give it a 3 out of 10.
See, I like the visuals mainly because I like the colors, the flowers, and everything with each captain. My thing is, the song almost was like not matching. That was about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't hate the song.
Yeah, I guess I would slightly agree. The song is like, I could see it being good. I have no hate against the song. I just think it encapsulated
like the way it went.
Back to the actual episode, we find out that Hitsugaya is going to be training in Zanjutsu, which was a question that we had last time.
Exactly.
What the fuck is Zanjutsu? And I Googled it, and I know, and I put it in the episode last time when I was editing. I did a little editor's note. Zanjutsu is just the basic sword of Zanpakuto wielding. It's like, it's a sword fighting style. It's what everybody has to do. So when he says that he's going to start training to do Zanjutsu, he's going back to basics, which is why he went to that beginner's class in the academy and started retraining.
I thought that was cool though, because he knows he's fucked. He's like, I rely too much on Hyorin Maru.
Gotta learn the basics. Did you catch a little interesting thing that he noted in there as well? After the battle with Aizen, Hitsugaya says that he actually trained his Bankai even further into what is his true Bankai. So here's my question. This is a manga spoiler in case anyone wants to skip forward about 20 seconds. Did during the battle of Aizen, Hitsugaya have his adult form available to him?
Not during the Battle of Aizen.
Because I feel like my interpretation of this is he did not have his air quote true Bankai until after the fight with Aizen when he honed it.
See, that's when I think he mastered it.
Because I really do think, and I'm going to headcanon it because it doesn't make any sense. Because we talk about this all the time. When new powers get, you know, adapted later, then it's like, well, why didn't he just use that in this fight? Like, same thing with Aizen. Why didn't fucking Yama just go Bankai? You know, just take Aizen out instantly. Hitsugaya didn't have adult form there. That's why he was struggling so hard. But now he had it and was ready to use it, but it got stolen.
Yep, I agree with that.
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
So Hitsugaya decides to train the sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not Kido?
That is a great question. But maybe, I don't know if there's been a historical precedent. Is Hitsugaya a Kido guy?
I don't think he ever really uses Kido.
I have never seen him use a spell ever.
I would say that is probably why. Maybe like he's never been a Kido boy, but I would assume because he was a prodigy. Hitsugaya was always touted as this prodigy.
Was he prodigy, or was he just a prodigy because of the way he mastered his Zanpakuto?
Probably Zanpakuto.
Yeah, that's a good point. I always assume prodigy, you know, you're an all-arounder. You know, you're good at everything and you learn. But you could also just be a prodigy just simply in the Zanpakuto and not the Kido. You could still be like a prodigy to touch the sword.
If we look at his skill card, the one spike is towards Zanpakuto.
The Zanpakuto sword fighting mastery. Woo, just all the way up.
And I think his logic, he's pretty logical as a kid.
Yeah. So I think he's a good mixture. And I got to say, this little discussion and stuff like that, my respect for Toshiro went up just a little bit. I was like,
I agree. Like, he walked in. Mm. Everyone's like, oh, Captain, what are you doing here? He's like, I got to learn.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I thought it was like fair play to Hitsugaya. Then cutting over to absolutely somebody else, we're getting Shuhei. He's going out to be trained to master his Bankai.
I thought that was super cool, and I forgot about that
which
scene.
I was going to say, I don't know, and I hope you know, Pythes.
I do.
Does this happen in the manga?
Yes, and this will come up again in Can't Fear Your Own World.
Interesting.
Oh, because we do see his Bankai in Can't Fear Your Own World, right?
Yeah, so I was wondering.
Specifically that scene is referenced.
Interesting, because I was wondering, my theory was, I don't remember this. I don't remember it in the manga. I wonder if this is an insert scene that is potentially setting up that we are going to see his Bankai as well in addition to Shinji's.
Ooh.
But if this exact scene is referenced Can't Fear Your Own World, I would say probably not, but I also would have bet that they are not going to show Shinji's Bankai, and the trailer has already shown they're going to show Shinji's Bankai.
Yeah.
I hope to death that scene, he yells Bankai and then immediately gets kicked out of the scene.
Just gets cut.
And we just don't see it.
The amount of people that would be fucking pissed off.
Oh my God, I'd be raging.
It would probably break the fucking internet. People would be so mad. And also,
I would die laughing.
There would be the trolls that would die laughing. People who wanted like legit to see it be fucking pissed. People who see Can't Fear Your Own World would be like probably, whoo, like save that for fucking later.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was really funny. Mashiro is a super lieutenant.
I love how she's like, I'm a super lieutenant. Look at my badge.
It's like, that's no way a lieutenant should be talking to a super lieutenant. Thank you.
Is she third seat at the moment?
No, she's a super lieutenant.
Yeah, stupid ass. Jose. God come damn on, it. Follow along.
I walked into
I mean, but would that not argue then, why was it such a big deal for Kiraku, Shunsui, to get a double lieutenant when he's already rocking two?
Exactly.
Maybe that was the precedent.
Yeah, they were we got a super. Oh, maybe he needs to decide which one of his lieutenants is going to be the super lieutenant.
Exactly. They're going to find it out right now.
Central 46 votes on who's going to be the super lieutenant, and they chose Mashiro.
There could only be one.
Yeah.
I'd love to imagine a scene where Shunsui is standing talking to Central 47. You can't have two lieutenants, and he points at Mashiro and goes, yeah, I can.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, well, what's this? It's like, what's this? Nobody said shit about Mashiro jumping around all over the place. She even got a fancy badge.
And she holofies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, whoa, yeah. I didn't think we were going to get to see it anytime soon.
Which, about fucking time.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really about time.
I was upset that Ichigo didn't do it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if there's a reason for it.
They forgot.
All right. Fair, okay. Fair enough.
Kubo's like, eh, not right now.
Yep.
Honestly, it kind of makes sense if he was fighting Quincy's.
He would be in a disadvantage. You're right.
Yeah. It probably wouldn't have done anything.
Because, yeah, they wrecked all us for breakfast.
Yep.
True. I wrote another little note here that Shuhei is still upset about Tozen. Does not like the Tozen disrespect. He
does not like the disrespect. He's like, that's my boy.
I mean, TBH, Tozen was a pretty bad guy. You could make an argument for Gin. I think you can make an argument for Aizen, whereas like Aizen wanted to change what he thought was a bad world. I think Tozen had a warped sense of justice, and it was so warped that I don't think he's really justified.
Would you say a blind sense of judgment?
Oh, Jose, knee slapper dog.
I have to go full no spoilers mode and say this will come up again and can't figure your own world.
Okay, all right.
And Tozen's
one of the best.
Okay.
I'll tell you after the podcast if you want.
Oh, well, okay. I guess we're going to find out. Yep. Nobody else is going
to know. Tozen's a real one.
All right. Well, as of right now, I'm going to say on record, fuck Tozen. All right. I'm going to say on record. 100%, Future Sam's not going to change his mind either. So then we find out that Mayuri has basically holed himself up ever since the Quincy attack, and nobody's seen him. And then Akon, poor fucking Akon, comes walking in.
Always has to do the work.
Fucked up. Nobody wants to question what the fuck Mayuri's doing. And he walks over and he has a hidden camera inside of Mayuri's office, where it must be like the fucking hidden camera from the year 1999, because it's just like...
It's
lagging. It's staticky. It's buffering. Everything. Static. You can't see what's happening. It's only on for 2 seconds. And he can see that Mayuri is creating something. He's doing some sort of experiment in there with Nemu.
Oh, you see the back of her head, man. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. So then we cut over. So let me pause real quick. I really like these episodes, and I've said it before when we were watching Bleach the first time. I really like wrap-up episodes.
Yeah.
I like that they jump all over the place and kind of show you, like, here's what all of your favorite characters are doing. I think that stuff is super interesting. Like, super, super,
I agree. I think it's fantastic.
So here is another sad moment that happens. This is not the saddest moment in the episode, but it is the second saddest moment of the whole season. All right.
Okay.
Omida is sad he didn't get invited to train with
Dude, Silicon. Okay.
I'm sorry. Cocksucker Soifan is. She doesn't take her own lieutenant to go train.
And it's funny. He's just chilling at home with his sister there.
That's fucked up.
And he's like, oh, I guess she didn't want to take me this time.
What a horrible captain. Wait, what a horrible captain.
Would like to point out that later, Omida saves her life.
Is, once again, if I was Omida, I'd fucking watch as she gets stabbed. And I'd be like, that's what you fucking get.
I mean, he helped her out versus Baragon. I was like, what the hell? I was like, you were there for her and you didn't run away.
He kept aggro for the longest time against Baragon. He was not messing around. And then how does he get repaid? He gets no training. He gets kicked off back to home. He sat there to be sad.
Also, would like to point out that, his family is known for being pretty tough. In Spirits Are Forever With You, his dad is a straight-up badass.
Damn.
He's like a keto master.
He's got it in him. He just doesn't have the drive.
There is potential.
Right?
From what I can remember, I believe her dad was the lieutenant before him. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, he was actually fucking a baller. And then Omida got on, he was a little bit of a joke. But he has potential to be fucking cool. He could have been doing, which maybe this would have been a redeeming thing. Maybe it comes in later. He could have done kind of what Komamura was doing, or maybe he goes to his dad and be like, okay, listen, I'm going to be serious. Teach me. That would have been cool. But instead, he gets no help. He's sat on his ass at home. He's got to play Kamari or whatever the fuck it is.
Does he train, though, during that bit? Like before the next Quincy attack? He does nothing, right?
He can't train because he's so depressed, Jose. He plays ball. His captain left him at home. He did not get an invitation to train. He probably saw Shuhei leaving and was like, must be fucking nice to have a captain now take care of you.
All right, Sam. Your captain decides to walk out. He's like, I'm going for training. How do you feel?
I would feel horrible, Jose. I would start looking for the nearest noose.
Ask Shuhei.
That is fucked up.
It is brought up in Spirits Are Forever With You. There's a scene where Omida goes, oh man, dad, your keto's really cool. I can't do anything like that. And Omida's dad turns to Soifan and goes, are you not training him?
Yep. Yeah, and the answer to that is yes. Because I'm a punk ass bitch. That's hopefully what she says. I'm on the hate Soifan train this whole season. I think she's been nothing but a nag.
I kind of agree with you. She's been a little bit on edge.
She's also kind of racist against the Visors, let's be real.
True. True. I mean, just more fuel to the flames. We hate Soy Fan. I'm sorry she's your favorite character, but you have bad taste. Like, it's just simple as that.
I mean, great design. I liked her design, but other than that.
Oh, she looks cool.
Yeah.
I thought she was awesome when I was 14.
Ooh, that's like, you're like, tough, dog. And then we get Komamura, who I get referenced earlier. He goes to see the Great Elder, who I wrote looks like that dog from the NeverEnding Story.
Thank you. I was trying to remember where that I saw that from. Yep. I was like, damn. Yep.
Laying Malcor, down, at least. I think. Yes. Laying down, he looks like Malcor from the NeverEnding Story. Standing up, not so much. But laying down, almost 100%. He wants to learn the secret technique, is what he says. And we find out that there's a little bit of a disconnect. It's kind of like the old people versus the young people. Komamura thinks that that people are much more accepting now in his clan to live out in the open. The elder's like, dog, fuck off. It's just going to change whoever owns the world. It does not affect us. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, I was just like, god damn,
yeah,
dude.
And Komamura's like, no, like, we can go out. It's cool. And he's like, we have peace now. Don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they ended up throwing down to see who's going to win and who's going to get the secret technique. Then we go back to the Hoenn, is how I pronounce that. And I wrote in all caps, I can see the ocean now that we were talking about. I fully see the ocean, which I thought was real cool. Then we get Oetsu, where Oetsu tells Ichigo that he has to say goodbye to his Zangetsu. And then we get the Nemaya bodyguards that appear, who I did not write any of their names because I assume they don't matter. They don't come into play later. They don't do nothing.
Yeah,
so
I'm pretty sure they're just there for
sure. They all got their introduction, and I was like, not going to waste my time writing any of those names. The only one who seems to be of any value is Mera, but she probably passed her time.
She's the fire one, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then we get Oetsu, who says, let's party time. And here's my live reaction of one of the scenes that we get to right next. You, what the fuck? One of them rips out a tooth. The fuck is that?
Yeah, dude. And I forgot about her. She's
Sumiko is her name. Fucking psycho.
She's the one that becomes like the hammer, right? The forge.
I don't know what she becomes. Gotta look away from the screen. It was disgusting. I don't want to see somebody rip a tooth out of their mouth. What the fuck?
Don't watch It's Always Sunny.
Give me a new Asauchi. Like, that's fucked up. Like, there's got to be a better one that's for welding than that, or like forging anything. That's disgusting.
With all of that, I just want to say Oetsu's got to have a really weird bunch of fetishes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I believe that 100%. He's an interesting dude, but I like him.
Imagine having a fetish for someone pulling out a tooth. That makes me want to vomit.
It made me very uncomfortable watching it.
Yeah,
I remember reading it and being like, I wonder what that will eventually look like.
Yeah, disgusting. And it's like now they're on the adult time slot, so they're just like, fuck it.
They don't give a fuck.
Let's just show someone ripping out a full-on tooth. Who gives a shit?
And she was in there. Yeah, she was like in there pulling it out.
No wonder she has bandages over her mouth. That's disgusting. So Oetsu keeps referring to Ichigo as Go Ichi, which I thought was, you know, interesting. And then we get a whole bunch of backstory here on Zanpakuto, which I took as many notes as I possibly could. So why the Asauchi turned white the moment Ichigo touched it is the moment Ichigo touched it, he was thinking about how it reminded him of the hollow within himself. So that's why it turned white. And Oetsu goes on to explain that the Asauchi is the hollow within him. It became the catalyst to draw it out. And so we get further information that the hollow is his Zanpakuto. And we talk about how Aizen created the hollow white by laying countless Soul Reaper souls, which is a similar method to how Oetsu creates his Asauchi.
Yep. So, I thought that was cool as fuck.
I don't know if it's cool. So is Os? Here's my question. Is Oetsu, you know how there's a whole cycle of rebirth in the Soul Society? It's been talked about time and time again. You get rebirth. There's a whole cycle. Bullshit. Is Oetsu just plucking souls out of the cycle of rebirth and turning them into Asauchi?
My interpretation was he's creating them like wholesale.
What does that mean?
So is... Because technically he's putting souls together, right? And it's like a blank soul that you imbue your spiritual pressure into?
Yeah, it's more like the Asauchi are their own things, and then you create the personality and the powers.
Okay, so maybe he's talking about the creation of Zanpakuto from Asauchi, about how you layer your Soul Reaper soul onto it?
I mean, if we're talking about smithing terms, and I'm talking like blacksmith, when they like forge swords and they want to create like super nice Damascus ones, they tend to like layer multiple metals together and then bend them as they heat them.
So maybe
and
he's talking about using multiple Asauchi to create a really nice sword.
It could be something like that.
Because he straight up says that is the same method I use. And I'm like, wait a second. We're not just going to gloss over that. Are you using Soul Reaper souls for Asauchi? Like, is that what Zanpakuto spirits are? They're Soul Reapers of another time?
there's, we could also go for this is a whole Shinto Buddhist kind of thing and just go, maybe some people just got reincarnated as swords.
True. Yeah, that makes sense. We'll accept that as the correct answer, but I'm just saying there's a potential that Uetsu is a bad guy.
He's just plucking people from the outskirts.
He's just straight up stealing from the reincarnation cycle like fucking Mayuri would do.
Oh my god,
Mayuri would do that for sure if he could.
And he would be smiling about it.
In a fucking heartbeat, dog. Okay, so back to the whole smithing process. So the hollow entered Ichigo's body, melded with his natural soul reaper powers, and that combination became his Zanpakuto. We find out Zangetsu, the one that he properly knows, is Ichigo's Quincy powers taking the form of Yuha Baha from 1,000 years ago. And I was watching this whole scene when he was explaining all of this and basically talking down to Ichigo, and I was very concerned we were not going to get a discussion between Ichigo and Zangetsu, and we were just going to see, like, with the Zangetsu that we know disappear. And then when he went into the underworld, like the little underwater world. I was like, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God they're going to have some sort of discussion. I thought they were just going to full on yip. And then I do have a big question I want to ask about this whole scene, but I will ask at the end. Just remind me because I forget. So Zangetsu, who I will just refer to him as Old Man Zangetsu, just so we know
That's how I know him.
He explains that there were no lies that he ever told him. None. Except for saying he was his Zanpakuto. That was the only one. And he says that he always saved Ichigo's life, and it was not Zangetsu. Or no, sorry. He said the one that always saved Ichigo's life was not him, but it was the hollow.
It was white.
If you think back to every time he's on, which we talked about last episode, about how the sisters haven't been on the brink of death yet, because the hollow is the one that always saves Ichigo. So that just proves that even further. And he says that he straight up did not want Ichigo to become a Soul Reaper. So he suppressed Ichigo's Soul Reaper powers and became the center of it himself as a Quincy. And he wanted to keep... And I thought this was very sweet. I thought this was very, very sweet. The only thing that he wanted was to keep Ichigo from danger. It wasn't like, hey, I don't want you to be a Soul Reaper. I want you to be a Quincy. He just did not want Ichigo to be in danger. That was it. That was the only thing he ever said.
Doesn't that remind you of Final Getsuga when they're training and he's younger and he's like, I just want to protect you, Ichigo. That's all I care about.
And I love that even now where he's just like, listen, I didn't even want you to be a Quincy. I just didn't want you to be a sword bearer because then you're going to get into fights. You're going to get more conflicts. You're going to get drawn in eventually. And it's like, I just want you to be safe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, till the day he dies, he's still an OG.
Yep. I love Zangetsu.
Straight up. Old Man Zangetsu continues and says that eventually if he knew if Ichigo fall down the path of Soul Reaper, he would have to kill Ichigo with his own hands. And that's what he originally thought, but Ichigo continued to go down the path of his own free will. And Old Man Zangetsu felt that he could feel his own heart wavering, eventually leaning towards supporting Ichigo's desires. And so then Zangetsu starts to fade away a little bit, and he goes, here I am, feeling the joy of stepping away from you. Nothing can make me happier. I'm satisfied. And talking about with how strong Ichigo's become. And then Zangetsu leaves behind a flaming blue sword, which we found out is Ichigo's true Shikai. And he says that what Ichigo has been using till now is a fragment of his power. The fragment that he could not suppress. So kind of similar to like what Ishin was doing with the hollow and that kind of stuff. Like the little bit of powers that could leak out from that. So Zangetsu, all the powers that Ichigo's been using are just like literally what seeped out. That's it. So Ichigo's gonna be strong as fuck now. And then we find out, of course, like I already said, the blue sword is his true Zanpakuto, Zangetsu. And then I have another question I want to answer after that, but we're gonna finish the whole episode because we're almost done here. Ichigo, as this is all happening and all this is going on in his mind, he says that he still believes both Zangetsu, Old Man Zangetsu, and White are his Zanpakuto. He fully believes both of them combined are the Zangetsu. And then we get to see the sea gets hella fucking blown back, which I was full on looking, where's the sword? Let me see if they put some sort of a sword reference in there. I was like, Pythes, my boy, told me there's a hidden sword in that ocean. I paused and everything. I was like, where the fuck is that sword?
I don't think we were going to see that thing.
But what a call out that would have been if they just showed a little, because you think about it, how zoomed out that shot was.
Yeah, it was.
They
could have
put
massive.
A little sword there and nobody would have noticed unless you knew what you're looking for.
Just a little smidge.
Yeah, they totally could have drawn it and you would have never have known unless you knew exactly what you're looking for. I'm pleased to announce there's no sword underneath the ocean.
Bad.
So then we see, of course, Ichigo's two Zanpakutos, which I don't know if this is a hard read. I assume this is probably obvious, but his two swords, obviously, I feel like it's Old Man Zangetsu and White still representing the two swords. Love them both. And he even goes back to say, which I thought was a little bit rude, Ichigo says that basically he won't ask them for help anymore. I won't ask you to fight alongside me. I'll fight on my own. And he says, thank you, Zangetsu.
Because he says they are him.
Yeah, but like I feel like in the OG, Soul Society Rescue Arc and all that stuff. When we were first learning about
when he sends Lend Me My Power.
Obviously, lend me some power. A lot of this stuff has probably been, you know, further developed as we go along the anime here in the manga. I feel like they talk time and time again how you want to be like one with your Zamato. You want to fight side by side with Zamato. Like they're your partner. I swear. Maybe I'm thinking of like fucking when the, you know, the Zanpakutos rebel in the filler arc.
I think you're right though. I think it's pretty much like build a bond and a friendship with them.
And it's like you're as strong as Zanpakuto. Like you're both like beings, you know, and you want to both be strong. You want to nurture your Zanpakuto and they nurture you, you know, back and forth. And that's how you get close to your Zanpakuto. He's like, fuck you guys, I'm fighting my own. I'm like, excuse me? After that pep talk I just gave you? The fuck? But that's the end of the episode, minus the after credit scene, of course, that I watched this time because I knew there had to be one. We see Yugram, which he's referred to as Hoshwalth when he comes back. And then we, of course, see, I mean, who could have guessed? Uri Yoshida.
Oh, no.
Showing up to the Stern Raiders. I mean, yeah. Wow. Who could have seen that one fucking coming? That's crazy. Really crazy.
It's not like that was in the opening or anything.
Not at all.
I wrote boo boo.
So my girlfriend was upstairs and she's like, well, who are you booing? I'm like, Ishida, yeah, I hate him. Boo.
He fucking sucks, dude. And then Yuha Baha refers to him as my son, and that is the end of the episode right there. There is a little I'm thinking wrong. But yeah, that is the full on end of the episode, which I thought this episode was super, super good. The saddest moment to me, okay, like I said, I'm going to touch back on this. I think the saddest scene of the whole anime was that talk was on Getsu.
Yeah.
I felt was like personally saying goodbye to an old friend.
Yeah.
I feel like we saw him since the OG fucking Bleach days. He was a badass since day one. Helped Ichigo through every fight like he was talking about. Obviously, so did White, you know, but we don't get as much of an attachment to White. And then even the time that he's disappearing, Zangetsu is just like, I just literally just wanted help. And I knew this day would come. But even then, I stuck around because you followed your own desire. Like, I care for you.
I love the part, too, because in that same scene, after he's fading, Ichigo starts running towards him. And he's like, wait, I still need you. Yes. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yes. And I don't want this to be any sort of a reflection on my relationships with my parents or anything like that. But I feel like I get really sappy on, like, father figures when they're like, I approve of you.
Like, yeah, it definitely feels like, hey, son.
Bro, same.
You can
absolutely
take
same.
Hand, right? Hand on shoulder and
yes,
you're in charge now.
Like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm just dead, dude. I'm just like, I can't handle these dogs. Like, it's too much. But it was just for me, sadder than Yamamoto dying, sadder than Unohana dying. And he's not even dead. It's like, I'm still going to see Yuha Baha all the way around, you know. But it's like, I just felt like that 110% was saying goodbye to a really old good friend. And it just felt really sad to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Also love that, of course, it was in the rain during that whole time.
Yes. And
then they go underwater when shit starts to get real.
Dude, it was all, I think that scene was a fucking masterpiece and the perfect nod back to the OG Bleach. And I didn't even mention, by the way, we get the number one song finally played.
Yeah, we
did not even mention that. Because I was just like so sad over fucking Zangetsu. I was just so taking notes on that. But yeah, they played number one finally. And it was beautiful. It was fantastic. 10 out of 10.
Fantastic.
But that Zangetsu scene pulled up my heartstrings 110%. So here's my question related to the Zangetsu scene. So with that scene that we just saw, does Ichigo A, not have Quincy powers anymore? Or is it just now like a part of him?
I think it's a part of him.
Okay. So he is still a Quincy, air quotes, but it's just no longer like there's a separate entity that is there. It's now like all in one.
Yeah, both his spirits are working in tandem with himself instead of, you know, oh, everything's hidden. What am I?
Okay.
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 Makes sense.
Because I wasn't sure because I don't know. Maybe you can refresh my memory, Pythies. Does he use Quincy powers later?
No, but him being a Quincy comes up big later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you still be considered an air quote Quincy just by having the blood within you?
Yes.
So
that's how it works.
Okay. So literally, like, let's say if Masaki was still alive and she got the power sucked out from under, is she still a Quincy or is she no longer a Quincy because she got the power sucked out of her?
Honestly, you can answer that with the whole Jewish thing. Like, is it a religion or is it a race? And they consider it a race.
Okay. So, I guess which is true because a lot of the Ryukin stuff is him talking about keeping the bloodline pure.
Yeah.
So I guess that would make sense even if you don't have the powers. Like if it was an Encanto situation, you're a Quincy born without powers, you're still a member of the Quincy bloodline.
Yes, you're part of the Quincy race. You are a Quincy.
Okay, so now here's my what if question. I thought this would be really cool, and I love it. So I think it would be cool if Yuha Baha stole Ichigo's powers, because he does it again, right? Spoiler alert. He sucks everybody's powers up again. Now, what if with that, he stole Ichigo's powers, and then Zangetsu helps him out from inside Yuha Baha? That's all I want.
That would be so cool if he's like, I've grown to love the boy.
Yeah, or like if like Yuha Baha is maybe fighting Ichigo, and he's like, it like ever since I sucked all those powers and became super powerful, when I'm fighting Ichigo, I feel sluggish. Or like I feel like just a little bit slower. And it's like it's almost like there's something fighting me from within inside. And it's like,
and then he like has to go deep inside himself, pull it out, and then then you get the final goodbye, Ichigo.
Yeah. Or like
pull like a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Just like Greed.
Or like Ichigo can maybe sense that Zangetsu's inside still helping him, and he's like, thank you, Zangetsu, and fucking slashes Yuha Baha.
Oh my god.
Imagine it comes down to a fist fight.
That would be sick, but it'd be stealing from Naruto. So
I can't support that.
Would be sick, though, but I cannot support that. It would be they could one-up Naruto and have Ichigo and Yuha Baha both lose their powers and come down to a fist fight. That would be cool.
I mean, just even simple swords.
I'm thinking, remember, Ichigo started off not as a Soul Reaper, but as a dude that just threw hands.
True. Yeah. True. He was a delinquent to the max. And that's the imagine it turns into a fist fight and Chad is like, it's my time.
Yeah, Chad appears out of nowhere. He's like, I'm right behind you, Ichigo.
It's like I've been waiting for this moment and start pummeling the fuck out of you, Abaha.
Abuelo, be proud.
Imagine if that's actually how it ended up.
Yeah. They just fucking mugged.
I mean
the
it would be cool,
Abaha.
But then what does Orihime do? Just stand there and be like, go, Ichigo and Chad.
She could be their shield. You know, they could be behind the shield.
No, she gets so good at her healing powers, she is healing every hit Yuha Baha like inflicts on them.
Oh, yeah. That would be sick.
Instantly heal.
You know how like she like throws her little hair thingies? She just attaches them to Ichigo and Chad, and then they're just both being healed at the same time.
And they both get Orihime's outfit.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, we're on there because the hair clips give you the outfit, clearly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, I'm so excited for that bit. When Ichigo sees her again and Yoroichi's like, hold on.
Yeah.
Same pose.
It's going to be good. I went back after this and I watched the Core 2 trailer just to kind of see like, you know, what do we have to look forward to? What's going on? There's a lot of good shit that's going to happen in Core 2. There's a lot of really good shit. Obviously, I think one of the most hyped ones is going to be the Ichibei fight, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's in the trailer talking about how 1,000 years of no
peace is
going to
be in the second core?
I think so.
So do you think
that's way too late, man?
So how do you think it's gonna end?
I think season one's gonna end, right?
No, I think with how fast they're moving, I bet it'll happen.
I thought I remember it being three cores, right?
It's gonna be four.
Four.
Yeah,
but see, isn't that strange with how fast they're moving though, Pythies? That's why I'm saying
can't fear your own world.
It could almost be like I think this Core 2 will either end with Yuha Baha having defeated all of Squad Zero and taking the Soul King's powers, or it will end with him stepping foot into the Soul Palace.
I honestly agree with stepping into the Soul Palace more, because that's the second invasion?
Because right? Those would be the two biggest cliffhangers that they could do. They could do him entering the Soul Palace and it's like, oh, fuck, they're about to throw down, end of season. Or he could defeat Squad Zero and get ready to do all this stuff. And then maybe they wheel out Aizen. And that's how they...
in a wheelchair.
Yeah. They summon Aizen.
My thought is this would be a weird place to end it. Like right when Ichigo arrives in Soul Society. Because there's a bunch of fights before that.
Okay.
A bunch of shit goes down. Ichigo shows up into season. And the next season will be everything leading up to the invasion of the Soul King Palace. And that'll be the final season.
Okay, yeah, I could see that being the final season, like the invasion all the way up to the fight. And then, but when do we get all the big fights like Byakuya, Hitsugaya, and Kenpachi? Would that be three
or four? That's got to be four.
You think it'll be in
four? Because that's in the Soul King Palace.
Yeah, one of the last fights that they all take part in is the Hitsugaya, Kenpachi, and Byakuya team up fight. That's one of the last ones against the Valkyrie.
Yeah, that's everybody's fighting the I forget the name of the elite guard, but it's like the three really tough dudes.
Yeah. And then what's the right hand or the left hand? I want to see that fight.
Oh, Pernida.
Yeah, Pernida.
The one that faces Miri?
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yeah, that's by the way, that's what I think. That's what I think Mayuri was working on, because I thought I heard like a baby crying.
Yes. So we're going to get that major payoff.
He does
payoff.
Talk about in the camera, which I don't know why I didn't write it down, but he does say that he's going to use this to basically birth a new Zanpakuto, yep. is what he's doing, or a new Bankai or something. He specifically says he's going to use it to birth, like, and then, as we know, you know,
that fight is going to be both kind of like gross.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be so interested in it.
It's going to be fucking
not
gross.
Not for my personal interest, but you know.
Because some of the stuff that I saw in the Korchu trailer, just for stuff that we have looking forward to, we have the Bazbee versus Hitsugaya.
Yeah, that's going to be super cool.
We have Komamura, human form. We have the Bambi squad and Bambi getting fucked up. Omida gets stabbed. That's shown in the trailer. Shinji Bankai, of course, is going to be an anime only scene. Let's see. Ikaku Numachika make an appearance in season 2.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote potential Tsukushima, of course, like we talked about really early on, that there is a brief glimpse of somebody in the middle of that ocean grabbing a sword, and it is very likely to be Tsukushima, and probably these
Tokinata.
Tokinata.
Oh, sorry, that bitch.
Not Tsukushima. Yeah, Tokinata.
Yeah, thank you. It's that bitch, Tokinata.
Sorry, how could I forget? Tokinata. And
say it right.
We think that's who's going to be that bitch, Tokinata. Sorry. Mm. And then actually at the end of the trailer, they did one of those quote things like they do at the end of every episode, mm-hmm. which I didn't know. And is obviously Uryu saying, "I heed destiny, my heart, a bow at full draw." That's it. That's it. So take away from that quote what you will. I don't know how deep that is.
Fuck that guy.
But we see Soy Fon fighting the robot as well. They got the one that originally fucked her up.
BG9.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, there's some good stuff to look forward to, but it just leads me to believe there's going to be a lot of the Stern Ritter fights for the next season, which is going to be good, but it's going to be a fuck ton of fights.
Yeah.
A lot
of fights. Okay with that, though. I mean, it's going to pay off regardless.
I mean, if the animation stays on par with what we've had with Core 1, I think everybody's going to be in for a fucking treat.
I mean, I was looking at the manga because right when Ichigo's talking to Zangetsu, that's when my manga picks back up, and mm-hmm. it's just fight. We get the Renji fight, we get the Byakuya fight, the Rukia fight.
Oh, the Bambi, my god, yes,
the Bambi Rukia fight.
Yeah, it's gonna be nothing but fucking pure chaos all the way through. 100%.
Yeah, I love it though. It's literally going like fucking 1,000 miles an hour right now.
So what fight do we think in this upcoming season is gonna be the best one? If we had to place money for where the budget is going to go, where are they going to fucking pimp out of the fights that are going to be in the second one?
I got to say it's going to be Rukia.
You think so?
I think they'll do a lot for
the return of Rukia.
Yeah, they're like the return of Rukia, mm-hmm. and then obviously, yeah. you know, spoiler, Bankai.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. And I mean, Renji's going to get a nice boost. Hits a guy, Bazbee is going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to think yet of the Bambi squad, but I would like to think that it's going to be really good.
I hope to God Kenpachi versus Grimmie is the biggest budget.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Grimmie.
Yeah. And I think Kenpachi versus Grimmie was going to be my bet for where they're going to put all of their money. But I would say the Rukia one is probably going to be, because you know how you have like the Yama fight, and then I feel like you had the Ichigo and the Yuha Baha fight, which both the animation was fucking nuts.
Fucking crazy.
I think those are going to be the two for the next season. It's going to be the Rukia Bankai. It's going to be the Kenpachi, because like, they have not shown shit for that fight. Kenpachi was not in that trailer.
Oh, that's right. It's been super hush.
Nothing. So I think they're going to go fucking bonkers for that
fight. Oh my God, we're going to get to see Mayuri in his sun outfit.
Yeah, yeah. That was it. That was in the trailer.
Yeah,
and Nemu's sun outfit. That was full on in the trailer. So I think they're going to go crazy. I think they're going to go really crazy.
Secret MVP fight is Yachiru versus that weirdo.
I totally forgot about
yes,
that.
Yes, and we get to see Yachiru's Shikai?
Her Shikai.
Which I don't know how that's a thing, but
I don't
want
to spoil it. But it's exactly what I thought for her.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't think too much about it. Just it happened.
It rolls.
So
it's on brand.
I think that'll be really cool. And I'm interested to see if they flesh out Yachiru a little bit more, just to kind of see, and especially the stuff that happens after Kenpachi's fight, because I feel like that was one of the things I remember when reading Bleach, that I was just kind of like, are they going to touch base on that? Are we going
to? At the time, it just went so fast. I think it literally just goes from her fight, then goes straight to.
Well, they always say, if you guys didn't read the manga, that the second invasion here is when you notice the drastic change in pace for the manga. And like, you think the anime was going fast, the manga was like fucking bonkers. Yeah, with them jumping all over the place, not coming back to fights, not showing certain things, it was all over the place.
I did notice also, you know, Kubo's drawing style, he has elaborate backgrounds every single time, and then when we get to that bit, it's almost plain. Mm. And it's kind of sad, but, you know, I understand the strains he was under.
Yeah, the strains and the editor and the decreasing popularity of Bleach, unfortunately, was a big factor of it. So I'm very interested to see what holes he fills in, because like we've talked about before, Kubo has already gone on record in saying that starting this core two is when we're going to start seeing a lot of things that he adds into it.
Yeah, all the fleshing out. Mm-hmm.
Which I am super excited for. Super, super excited. And obviously,
it's brand new to us.
Yeah, I was not expecting Shinji's Bankai. I was really not. I thought they were going to save that 110% for Can't For Your Own World.
I thought so too.
But I guess, you know, it's an easy pickings to kind of, because I do think even since the anime has been over, the manga has been over, the running joke has been, what the fuck did Shinji do?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking nothing. He got his ass beat is what he did. And what did any of the visors do? Fucking nothing. They got their ass beat. So hopefully, I would hope, fingers crossed, he gives the visors a little bit of wins here.
I don't remember their fights, but I know we see, what's his name? Love and Rose's fight. Mm-hmm. And then I think Kensei gets dunked on again.
They all get dunked on again.
Rose has the worst loss in the series.
Yeah, I agree. I think his was pretty gnarly.
Because he explains exactly what his Bankai does and how to beat it, and then is then shocked when he is defeated.
Idiot.
What do you mean you would reverse engineer the exact instructions I gave you? That is so strange.
I cannot wait for Mask Day Masculine. He's the best generator.
Yeah. Is he the...
He's the wrestler.
He's the luchador.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Please just be Macho Man Randy Savage. That's all I want.
That would be the best. Ooh, I'm going to crush you.
We've already heard his voice. That pipe dream is gone, you guys. You guys gotta let go. It's already gone.
Should we go to my notes? Or you got anything else?
No, send it.
First one is OP still sucks. I hate it, and I wasted my time.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same ship. I'm glad we're on the same fucking ship, because I watched it again to give it the old college try. Not for me.
So in complete contrast to what you guys were saying, I just wrote, the fuck is Toshiro going to gain from swinging a sword?
Because there's something to be said, Pythies, about going back to the basics, okay? Because he even talks about how he focused so much time on the... I can't believe I'm defending fucking Hizugaya in 2023.
I know, I'm surprised. He spent
so much time with the Zanpakuto and relying on the Bankai, he never thought he would run into a world where he would lost it. So that's why he's like, fuck, I'm going to go back to the basics because I got to fight sword v sword. That's how I'm going to win this thing. And so he's going back to day one.
Well, when you were talking about it, I was coming around to it. So this was just my thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you were watching.
Also, would like to point out, Hitsugaya doesn't know this yet, but his opponent is a guy that can turn himself into iron. So I would love if he takes a swing and just clangs off.
He's like, well, that was a fucking bust. Like,
what a waste of time.
I also wrote, holy shit, look, color. Because every other scene in this has been at night or in the rain,
true.
And it's, you get to see the outside, and it's very beautiful.
Yeah, that is totally true. Yeah. Because it has been very moody, been very, very, very moody. Even the opening scene was at night.
So, and this is there's a sense of hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well done. When Mashiro punched Shuhei in the gut, I got a real laugh out of it.
Yeah, same. He just took it.
He goes flying across. I went, ha.
We hate that bitch. Not Mashiro. Okay,
so here's some lore. Speaking of Mashiro, that girl in the glasses that was talking to Akon, that's her sister.
That's her sister?
Yeah, her name is Nico.
Oh, well, she reminded me a lot of one of the original Gotei 13
members. So here is my question then. When Mashiro got exiled from Soul Society, did she get exiled also, where the family of the Visors allowed to stay?
No, the Visors were allowed to stay because she was in the Soul Society arc.
Okay. So that glasses girl was in the original Soul Society rescue arc.
Yes. She had a slightly different design. She had like a weird chain wrapped around her head for some reason.
Okay. So she has been in the show since day one. So by that, she was already let to be in the Soul Society while they were exiled.
Yep.
Interesting. I thought for sure they would have gone old timey, like, that boy's tainted. You're all fucking gone. Get your families. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't think they cared that much.
Okay. Seems a little sloppy to me, but all right.
Ian, the English dub of the big dog, sounds like he had his mouth full of mothballs.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
interesting.
Oh,
that's annoying. I'm glad I didn't watch the dub. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Komamura's conversation about the future of the clan will come up in one of the books later.
Oh, okay.
And then here's me being salty again. Oh, so we can see the hollow Asa Uchi's ass, but not Rukia's.
Everybody was upset. I remember unjust. As they were airing, Twitter lost its mind.
Unjust. We get to see men booty, but not female booty.
So when Oetsu was just talking, how does he know what Ichigo's backstory was?
He's seen it all.
I guess you would just write it up to maybe the Soul King knew it and he informed everybody.
I was thinking that, like, because I forget Mera pops out exactly when she needs to, that he was just like, all right, we're just going to watch Ichigo and find out.
Yeah. Oh, that would make a lot of sense if he was just like watching from up above. Like, he kicked Ichigo out, pulled up some popcorn, pulled up a TV, and was like, this is
good. Hold on.
10 out of 10. Juicy drama.
I can't imagine it took a lot to reforge Renji Zanpakuto, so he didn't have a whole lot to do.
Yeah, it was probably just the girls that did it.
Well, it sounds like he didn't even do it personally, so he probably had a whole bunch of time to kill.
And once again, Oetsu probably has a weird fetish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't doubt it.
So when Zangetsu was talking about protecting Ichigo, I was just like, helicopter parent.
Pythies, listen. You're so negative. Okay. That was a sensitive, sweet moment that he was trying to do.
Trying to ruin it.
Yeah. And he wasn't being a helicopter parent. He's being a loving, caring parent that saw his son get ran into by a whole bunch of swords, and he was trying to help him.
If it makes you feel better, I reread the entirety of this arc like a couple months ago, like in September. So I've already been through all the emotions, and now I'm just here to make fun of it.
Oh, good. Okay. Good.
I just wrote number one is back, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. The best part. Beautiful. Made me smile.
So in the after credit scene, Uryu is already wearing a Stern Ritter uniform before he meets with Yuha.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe. So maybe it was like Yugram recruited him, then took him to the palace and was like, okay, here's your uniform.
Get
like
dressed,
your first day
bitch.
Orientation. Put on your orientation uniform. And he puts it on and he's like, hey, here's the boss.
Well, I'm going to make fun of it like I did and go, hey, was his deal the same with Grimmjow where he agreed so he could get drip?
Well, we know Uryu historically likes the outfits.
Yes,
okay,
he
that's
does.
Been
he
well
talks
established.
About how he made his own cape.
Yes, he's a master sewsman or whatever that the fuck is called.
Seamstress.
Seamstress, thank you. He's a master seamstress. So he probably made it himself. He probably saw it, made a couple improvements, and that's why Yuha Baha was like, dude, you're going to be next in line.
Antithesis.
Yep, it's like, you're my successor. Done.
That's one of my favorite scenes from early Soul Society where he like his cape gets ruined. He goes, all right, don't worry. I got it back up.
Yep.
Yeah, he has the little patch kit in his
well-established seamstress is what I'm saying. He probably dripped that shit out himself.
And then I wrote, because I'm back on the manga, because the anime has caught up, I just wrote, yo, next chapter's going to pop off.
Ooh.
Get hyped.
Okay, bomb.
And that's the end of my notes.
For a little bit of a tease, what is the next chapter?
Like, almost immediately, the invasion starts.
Damn,
okay.
All right, that's going to be fucking
jumping
sick.
Jumping right into this shit.
Like,
that's
going to be really We get good. Our introduction to the Stern Ritter. We're going to get to see Bambi maybe fuck that guy.
Oh, my God, I forgot that happened. She totally calls someone and goes like, I'm bored. Done. And then you see her zip it up.
Yeah, and then here's the important question. Did they let the guy finish before she killed him?
Jose, I'm going to field that one to you first. Go ahead.
Because
I'm going to keep it 100. Like, I did not remember that scene at all.
I feel like it was unsatisfactory. That's why she did what she did after that. And she was just like, oh, too early.
So are you saying, okay, he did it too early, uh-huh. What you're saying? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the answer Jose would have for you is yes, Pythies.
Okay. Yeah, that's all that matters.
He got the pleasure, one and done, and then he got the pleasure of being sent to the afterlife, which odds are he would have died in the invasion anyways.
Exactly.
Yes, he was a no-name loser.
Mm.
So we're going to get the introduction of like all the Stern Ritter and then like another scene and then it's going to pop off.
Candace Catnip. Bye.
I know in the trailer they show a lot of the scenes of the Stern Ritters kind of just talking to each other, and most of it is just them being upset over Uryu being named the successor. That's most of what they showed in the trailer. So that'll be cool. I would not be surprised if they cut out that Bambi scene. So just judging by the other stuff they've cut so far.
It's more of a ha-ha funny kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it would.
I'm, I'm a Bambi fan, so I'm really looking forward to that scene. I will be even more upset than when they cut out Rukia's ass.
You guys couldn't see it in the manga, but if they actually drew it out a little bit more right around the corner, Pythes was second in line to go into the room where Bambi was.
He was ready. He's just like, all right, pants are off.
I mean, even when the guy got cut, he was like, fuck, so do I still get to go? Or like, what's up? Like, what's up?
That's why I was asking, did he at least get to finish?
Because that's unfair.
I'd be all right with that.
The getting killed is not a deal breaker, but do I get a finish? Deal breaker, yes, no, because I'm not
doing
it. I
will die happy.
I will die doing what I loved, literally.
Perfect. The perfect way to go. And then you can send your regards, which Quincy's, I assume they also get sent into the reincarnation cycle. Yeah, there's no like exclusion for them?
As far as I know, that I mean, they do go to Soul Society.
All right, yeah. That's a win-win.
How else would Mayuri do his fucked up experiments on
him? That's a win-win.
I totally forgot he zombifies them.
Hey, that's it. All the way around. I support you, Pythes. I'm not going to get in line, but I support you.
I won't get in line. I do like Bambietta, but not as much.
You're more of a Candace guy.
Yeah, honestly. I don't know what it is, but yes.
There's a couple big reasons.
The short shorts?
Yes.
Well, I'm not cheating on my main girl, okay, even though I know her fate.
It's okay to have more than one.
All right, Grimmjow's in there too.
Yeah, thank you. I think everybody has Aizen. Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah, dude. 100.
The minute he took those glasses off, 100, like, hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Imagine he does that when he walks in the room. Like, you thought he was some nerd, and he comes in, he whips back his hair. Like, oh, fucking hell.
My girl saw that, and she's like, how the fuck does he change so much? Look at the eyes. All of a sudden, his facial structure changed a little bit.
He's cool now, dog.
I'm like, leave him alone.
He's a baddie.
You know, like, just imagine, takes off glasses, hair slicked back. That's right, I'm a bad guy.
Yeah, he's fucking cool as hell.
Because Aizen was cool before he took off the glasses.
Oh, my God.
Because he was the reliable, nice guy that we all wanted to know more about. And then he died, and we were so sad.
Soul Reaper that seemed like he was actually trying to be a nice guy, but that's how they got us.
Exactly. Yeah. I believed it, too. And then all of a sudden, you see the light, and you're like, you're alive?
Bastard.
And he's smiling, and then you can't see his eyes because the glasses have that reflection on them.
Takes the bad guy reflection. Yep.
And you're like, all right, this is the bad guy. And then is that the best exit anyone's ever had?
I think so. Yeah, I think that is so iconic of an exit.
It's such a good twist.
I think there's a lot of good entrances. And I think you can make a lot of arguments for like what anime character did the best entrance. But I think in terms of exits, that's got to be up there.
Like boys are rising into the sky in pillars of light. Then cradled in the arms of Menos Grande that we've only seen one of.
And we thought it was badass.
And he takes off his glasses and then slicks his hair back. Yeah. Like, peace out.
The fucking coolest. Just
what a goat.
By far the coolest exit. Like, it has to be. Which, man, I can't wait for my boy to be back. I'll tell you what, I can't wait. Do we think we're getting any Aizen scenes in Core 2?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah?
At least one.
Maybe that'll be how it ends. Like, yeah, Ichigo comes down to save Kenpachi, and then it cuts to the Mook, and he's like, hey, man, I could use some help. And then you see Aizen's face, and then season over.
That would be sick.
That would be really badass. Really sick. Oh, my God.
Because I feel like universally, if you're a Bleach fan, you love Aizen. And I think there's some characters where I'm just going to go over to Naruto here. I think a character like Itachi, I think everybody, for the most part, likes Itachi, but I'm starting to see a lot of resistance of people where it's like, now Itachi is too loved, so now you're getting the contrarians that are like, no, fuck Itachi, oh, so basic. But I think for Bleach, across the board, everybody loves Aizen.
Aizen's the best.
He was such a good villain. Yeah. He just methodically thought all of it out and then executed his plan exactly how he wanted until the end.
Allow me to be a contrarian for you, Jose, because let me tell you, he was not that good of a planner. Now, let me roll back the curtains and roll back the time machine here and take you back to the fight above Karakura Town.
All right, insert the clip.
Yeah, so if Aizen was so good at planning everything, why would he put Halibut against Hitsugaya?
I honestly forgot about that.
Why would he do that?
Controls water.
It's ridiculous. And like, if he was so good of a planner and he knows what most of the captain's strengths are, I assume he's done that little bit of research, especially if he knows about Yuha Baha. I assume he knows the strengths, the powers, the Bankai. Because you forget, you have to show your Bankai to like a league of captains before you become a captain. And they have to approve it. So I assume they have records of what everybody's Bankais are. So I assume, I'm doing a lot of assuming here, Aizen also knows what all that is. So why did he come out with such weak Espada? They couldn't even force Bankai out to send the captains. That's what I'm saying. How good of a planner was he if you thought that was going to stand a chance? He got fucked.
He also did Aizen even think he needed the Espada?
I would argue yes. Otherwise, why waste all of your time?
True. Also, unless he was just trying to like tire them out.
Was Aizen even planning that fight? Because he and his boys were surrounded by fire. That was all Baragon.
But I would assume that if you know your matchups, you would have given your Espada a debriefing. That is basic tactical war schemes. You're going to give your people like, hey, listen, we're going up against the 49ers coming up. here's their best fucking quarterback. Here's the
49ers.
This is just an example, Jose. But here's like the runs they like to do. You know, you give them a fucking rundown. They watch the old games and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's like he sent them in blind. He's like, fuck it. Go for it, homies. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Aizen? Like, at least give them a rundown. At least be like, hey, Hallible, you have water. There's a guy on the other team. He has ice. Don't fight the little midget. Go anywhere else.
Yeah, dude. Don't fight the little bitch.
Like, that's a simple command right there. You know what? I got a good fight for you. Go to Yama. He's fire. Fucking
Yama would have destroyed her though.
Yeah, I know.
Yama would have wrecked her shit.
I'm just saying an example. You know, there's good matchups that could have been done here. Go anywhere. And like, also, here's another thing. Sark, you have guns. A lot of people in Soul Society do not have ranged weapons. Joe, why don't you just sit back and start picking people off?
Start sniping.
Like, start third-partying people. Like, wait for, like, Hallible or Bargon against a fight. What if Bargon was stuck inside of the cage, the little keto cage, like, and Sark teleports right next to the – I can't remember his name, the fat visored. What's his name?
Hachi, I think.
Hachi.
He teleports right next to Hachi and just blasts him right in the dome.
Yeah.
Then the whole thing is done. It's fucking game over. Bargon's still alive. Nobody can touch him because he's literally death incarnate. It's over.
Well, don't forget – like Arrancar, they're literally on the whole survival of the fittest thing. If he can't win his fight, that's not my fault.
Here's another game plan for you, Pythies. Ignoring okay. what you just said, they basically just all surround Bargon and they protect him like he's a moving bomb. And Bargon just slowly walks towards everybody and decays them. And they're just basically running interference. You know, that's all they're doing. Or they're like tripping people and pushing them into Bargon.
Yeah. Oh my god!
They're throwing them into the death pit.
Number one, no one likes Bargon because he's an asshole. And who says that someone can't just like reverse hold and throw you into the death pit?
That's the game they're willing to play.
You're just going
to
push a different Arrancar in there.
That's how it's going to go. So I don't know what to tell you.
Hallibel rushes someone. She gets grabbed and just chucked at Bargon and disintegrates.
Maybe because at that point, Bargon would deactivate it really quick, obviously, because they're best buds. So.
Yeah. He definitely cares. So here's two things I got to bring up. One, my boy Napoleon said no battle plan survives contact with the enemy. Got to think on the fly.
Okay.
And when Hallibel and all her squad and everybody's defeated, Aizen just goes, I didn't think you were that weak.
Once again, how does he not know his own forces' strengths, dog? He could have known that by watching. Obviously, I get he brings the top three. So he's like, oh, my top three are going to be fucking gangster, Vasto, Lordes, you know, whatever. But he could have watched from Ichigo and team tearing up his whole fucking fleet throughout all of the fucking Wekomuna and be like, maybe my forces are not as strong as I thought they were going to be.
I mean, does he care about his forces? His whole thing was like, gotta fuck with the Hogyoku. This is all just like, this is a sideshow. We're just waiting for this thing to power up.
I would assume he does. It would have helped him greatly if maybe they picked off a couple, like, dead-deaded him.
I wish.
I mean, the only one who was actually a threat was, like, Yama.
Yeah, I suppose. You could argue the only one Aizen couldn't take was Yama. But I feel like, you know, I just think if they could have used Bargon in some way, he was the only
You're
one.
You're just trying to use him as a
he
weapon.
He was the only one that was really dangerous, you know. Peace out to my boy Stark, but like Bargon was kicking ass and taking names so much that they had to bring out the big guns, and you know, Hachi really saved the day for them.
That is true.
You gotta remember, this is like a boys battle manga. It's just cool fight. Who care about strategy? Do the cool fight. Cowboy fight samurai.
Yeah, I guess.
I love Stark's
my
release
whole
form too.
The point of this was just that Aizen is maybe not the smartest guy. Unless his plan was literally, he was gone for a long time, wasn't he? I'm going to waste, let's say, a year. I don't know if that's the actual amount of time. But I'm going to waste a year creating this whole secondary army just for them to be fodder, just so I can wait extra long. Why would he not just hide and wait for the Hogyoku?
I feel like he would do that, though.
That's a waste of time. That's inefficient.
Now that Aizen, he's revealed himself, why does he need to hide? He's done with hiding.
Well, why would he need to go to Wekomuna in the first place? Why didn't he just go fuck off? Because
that's where his squad is.
But his squad is fodder, so what does it matter?
Yeah, he's got to have somewhere to drink tea.
Dog, waste of time, I'm telling you. That is inefficient. Straight up. He could have gone somewhere in like America. Like, how are they gonna find him there?
Oh, because that's when the Cowboy Soul Society would have shown up and wrecked his shit.
Yep.
Or the Burn the Witch unit.
They're in London, Jose.
Oh,
please.
London,
come
sorry.
On. They
that's
each
the
have
West.
Their own thing. Come on.
Yeah, fuck the British.
True. All right, anything we want to talk about this other episode? I mean, we have episode one coming out the week after this, which is going to be absolutely fucking amazing. And then I think we're just waiting. They've slowly been teasing what the new opening for season one is going to be. I guess that maybe, from my understanding, the song's not out yet.
I don't think it's out.
So they keep showing like little 15-second clips advertising it, which it sounds already better than the first opening. So fingers crossed. But it'll be here before we know it. I'm pretty sure they did an advanced screening already of the first episode, but maybe that's coming up next week. In Japan, I think a week early, they're doing an advanced screening of the first episode. So I don't know
so
if that's happened yet.
So it should be out by the time we're
yes.
dropping
but
this.
But by the time this episode comes out, it should have, that advanced screening should have happened. So,
we'll get some more information about then,
and we'll get the theme song. I'm sure it'll get leaked, but who knows?
I'm going to do my best to duck spoilers.
Yeah, best of fucking luck. Best of luck. All right, well, let's fucking call it. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. We hope you guys stick around for Bleach Thousand Year Blood War Core 2. We will be back the weekend after this one. It's actually going to be – that's going to be a tough one because it's going to be Anime Expo weekend for me as well. So we'll have to pivot around and see what happens. But I look forward to seeing you guys then. Of course, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us now. Until then, we're all very excited for Core 2. And make sure you guys are liked, subscribe. Of course, make sure you're following us on Instagram and Twitter. And then however you're listening to it, if you're an audio listener, first of all, thank you. But make sure you're rating it 5 stars and tell your friends. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.